right, turn with me, if you would, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 26 is where we're at in our journey through this Old Testament book. We believe all Scripture is breathed out by God and useful, and that includes generations, genealogies, census lists. There's things there that we can grow and learn in our relationship with Jesus from. Before we dig in, let's ask for God's help. Father, thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us your promises. You are faithful and you are worthy of our worship. As we open your word together, as your people, give us ears to hear what you would say to each one of us. By your Spirit, be at work. Open our hearts, open our minds to you. Be at work in your transforming gospel power, that we would be refined, that we would grow, that we would be shaped more into the image of our Lord Jesus, that we would reflect your character to a world that desperately needs to know you. Be at work in us for your glory. We invite you in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. God led his people out of slavery, out of Egypt. He brought them to the mountain where he entered into a covenant relationship with them. He took them to be his people and gave himself to them to be their God. They built him a tent to dwell with them in the middle of the camp. He led them to his promised land, protecting them, providing for them the entire journey. But they rejected him, rejected his love, rejected his land, his leaders. They broke their covenant with their God. So they would die in the wilderness. But God promised their children, that next generation, they will enter the land. The book of Numbers began this way, with a census. Numbers chapter 1 verse 1, Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male head by head, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who are able to go to war. You and Aaron shall list them, company by company. And there shall be with you a man from each tribe, each man being the head of the house of his fathers. Now here we are, 40 years after leaving Egypt, again on the borders of the land, having been protected by God from spiritual warfare waged against them from the mountains of Moab, having egregiously sinned against God by engaging in immorality with women who led them to break the first commandment of their covenant and go after other gods. After 24,000 of them died in a plague, in Numbers 26 we read, after the plague, Yahweh said to Moses and to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their fathers' houses, all in Israel who are able to go to war. And Moses and Eleazar the priest spoke with them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. Take a census of the people from 20 years old and upward, as Yahweh commanded Moses. The people of Israel who came out of the land of Egypt were, and then it lists the census. Here we are, 40 years after leaving Egypt. Miriam is dead. Aaron, the high priest, is dead. His son Eleazar now taking his place. Moses is soon to die. This is a census of the next generation. Those military age men who under Joshua's leadership will conquer the land, will enter in and possess it. God promised to give them the land, but not without a fight. Already they have defeated the Amorites, Sihon and Og, and possessed their land from the Arnon to the Jabbok as far as Mount Hermon. In Numbers 1, the head of each tribe was listed, the would-be heroes of Israel who instead, because of their rebellion, fell. in the wilderness. In that chapter, each tribe was numbered with this repetitive formula: of the people of tribe, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, those of them who were listed, according to the number of the names, head by head, every male from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of tribe were this number. Chapter 26, here it gives us more detail, listing the families by their clans. The formula here is the sons of tribe, according to their clans, of the son's name, the clan of the son's name, Ites. Each clan is listed that way. These are the clans of the tribe Ites, and then the total number is given. Numbers 26 is more than a census list, though. It's a review of history. It's a reminder of the failures of the fathers. A warning: do not follow in their footsteps. The chapter begins with these words, after the plague. A warning right out of the gate from chapter 25 to flee sexual immorality, to have no other God before me. A reminder of the 24,000 who died in the plague because they followed after other gods. Eleazar the priest is mentioned as son of Aaron. This is another warning, a reminder of Aaron and Moses' anger, their pride from Numbers chapter 20, where they forfeited entering the land because of unbelief, a failure to uphold Yahweh as holy. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 26 is verses 5 to 11. This census begins with the Reubenites. The firstborn of his sons, Hanak, Palu, Hezron, Carmi, with a focus on Palu's son, Eliab, and his sons, Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram, back from Numbers 16, provide us another warning. As prominent men chosen from the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against Yahweh, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a warning. But the sons of Korah did not die. They rebelled against the God-appointed leadership of Moses and Aaron. Having been entrusted with great authority, great responsibility, they were not satisfied but jealous. They wanted more. Korah, a Levite, is listed here because of his association with this rebellion, but the sons don't have to fail in the same way their fathers have failed. The sons of Korah did not follow in their father's footsteps, instead went on to author some of the Psalms that we today enjoy in our book of Psalms. They give us hope. Although the fathers have failed, the sons do not have to follow in their footsteps. Verses 12 to 14, Simeon listed next, with his sons, Nemuel, Jamin, Jachin, Zerah, Shaul. 15 to 18, Gad is listed with his sons, Zephon, Haggai, Shunai, Ozni, Eri, Arad, Areli. Verses 19 to 22, Judah. Judah fathered Ur and Onan, who became a warning against wickedness, against selfishness. We aren't told what Ur did, but he was wicked in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. Onan refused to care for the orphan, the widow. Selfish. Onan, Shelah were born of the daughter of Shua, a Canaanite. Perez and Zerah were born of Judah's daughter-in-law, whom he thought was a prostitute. All this is overlooked in this narrative. Perez's line is traced through Hezron and Hamul. We find out in Ruth, Hezron became the ancestor of David, the king. Matthew and Luke trace the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ back through Hezron, through Perez, through Judah. Verses 23 to 25 list Issachar as the father of Tola, Puva, Jashub, Shimron. Verses 26 and 27 record Zebulun as father of Sered, Elon, Jahil. Verses 28 to 37 follow the birth order of Joseph's sons, listing Manasseh first, although Numbers 1 listed Ephraim first, according to Jacob's blessing in Genesis 48 that Ephraim would have the first place in the tribe. Manasseh's lineage is traced through his son Machir, who fathered Gilead, who fathered Eazer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Shemida, and Hefer. Hefer fathered Zelophehad, who had no sons, but only daughters. Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These five daughters of Zelophehad, unusual in a list of male descendants, a census list like this, that is primary purpose is to list the 20-year-old and up males ready for military service. This is also unique in that these five daughters constitute the fifth generation. None of the other genealogies, none of the other census lists go that far. And these daughters take center stage in chapters 27 and 36 as they petition Moses for inheritance rights. We'll come back to them next week. They're introduced here to get our attention. In verses 35 to 37, Ephraim, listed as the father of Shulatha, Beker, Tehan, Shulatha, Shuthela. I'm sorry, but these are some fun names. Shulatha fathered Iran. Verses 38 to 41 trace the descendants of Benjamin, Bela, Ashbel, Ahiram, Shephufufim, and Hufim. Bela fathered Ard and Naaman. If you're having kids, if you're looking for good kid names, here's some great ones. I'd love to hear somebody name their kid Shephufufim. That's just a fun one to say. I don't know. Verse 42 and 43 tell us Dan had only one son, Shuham, through whom his large tribe all descended. Verses 44 to 47, Asher fathered Imna, Ishva, Beriah. Beriah fathered Heber and Malkiel. Asher's daughter Sarah is also mentioned, not explained why. Verses 48 to 50, Naphtali concludes the list with his clans Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, Shillim. Here's a comparison list to show the changes in the numbers of each tribe from the first census in Numbers chapter 1 to this second census about 38 years later in Numbers chapter 26, and the difference, the changes. Some increased, some decreased. Simeon significantly decreased, possibly because of his part in the Baal Peor plague of the previous chapter where 24,000 died. This was the list of the people of Israel, 601,730. What's amazing is that in spite of all their grumbling, their disobedience, their unfaithfulness, and God's judgments on them, including this plague killing 24,000 at Baal Peor, the overall number of Israelite males in this next generation dropped by less than 2,000 in an over 600,000 census. The census includes only militarily eligible men aged 20 and up who could go, those who could go to war. Life is war, and God was giving Israel a promised land to conquer. The roster of the military would be essential as they begin to move in and occupy hostile land. But this census has another purpose. Numbers 26 verse 52 tells us this. Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, among these, The land shall be divided for inheritance, according to the number of names. To a large tribe you shall give a large inheritance. To a small tribe you shall give a small inheritance. Every tribe shall be given its inheritance in proportion to its list. But the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. Their inheritance shall be divided according to lot between the larger and the smaller. This census gave them information they needed to divide the land equitably, to accommodate the significantly different sized tribes. The division of land ultimately was to be done by lot, a way to take it out of the manipulative hands of men and allow God to apportion the land as he willed. Numbers 34 specifies the boundaries of the land, which would be divided in Joshua chapters 13 to 19 between these tribes. Now the tribe of Levi was not to be numbered among the military, as they were assigned a different battle, guarding the sanctity of God's tent and God's people. In Numbers chapters 3 and 4, they were numbered as a substitute for every firstborn male of the other tribes, and they were organized around God's tent, assigned different responsibilities for transporting this tent according to their divisions. But the promised land would provide a more permanent home for God's tent, eventually the temple, so their duties would look different. They would not inherit land. The Lord was their inheritance. They were to be given cities scattered among the other tribes, 48 cities assigned by Joshua in Joshua chapter 21 to continue to guard the sanctity of God's people. The three sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, Merari. Gershon fathered the Libnites, Kohath, the Hebronites and Korahites, Merari, the Malites and Mushites. Numbers 26 verse 58, and Kohath was the father of Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And she bore to Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam their sister. And to Aaron were born Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered unauthorized fire before Yahweh. There's a focus here on Amram, another son of Kohath, through whom came Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, leaders in Israel. And here's another warning. Aaron had four sons. After the climax of Leviticus chapter 9, when the tabernacle was complete, the priests were set apart for service, the appropriate offerings were presented, and God's glory filled the tabernacle, fire came out from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. Leviticus 10, caught up in the moment, Nadab, Abihu took each his censer and offered incense before the Lord. But they violated God's clear instructions. They worshiped in a way that seemed right to them. That's dangerous. There is a way that seems right to a man. They presented their own fire. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed them. We are not free to approach God in any way we see fit. There are not many paths to God. Jesus said, "The way is wide to destruction." Few find the narrow path which leads to life. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Access to God is exclusively through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot clean ourselves up. We must be washed in his blood. We cannot come with our own righteousness. We must come clothed in his. the concluding statement is also includes a warning. These are those listed by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who listed the people of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, verse 64. But among these, there was not one of those listed by Moses and Aaron the priest, who had listed the people of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For Yahweh had said of them, they shall die in the wilderness. Not one of them was left, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. A son born to parents some 20 years after they left Egypt would now be 20, eligible to be numbered in this census. A 19-year-old who was not numbered in that first census, now 38 years later, would be 57. The only men over 57 that remained in Israel were Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. And Moses would die before they enter the land. God is faithful to his promises. Numbers 14, God said, truly as I live, and as the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. None of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Say to them, verse 28, as I live, declares Yahweh, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. And of all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, Yahweh, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this wicked congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. God is faithful. God is faithful to his promises, both in judgment on the faithless, the unbelieving, and in his gracious promises to those who believe in him, who trust in him. God is faithful to all his promises, but he is just. He demands holiness in his followers. Flee sexual immorality. Flee idolatry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Beware anger and pride. Always treat the Lord as holy. Be on guard against jealousy, against wickedness, against selfishness. Approach God in the one and only way he has authorized, through the blood of Jesus Christ, his only Son. Enter through the narrow way, the way of utter dependence on the finished work of another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your truth, for the warnings of history. Lord, may we heed and not follow in the footsteps of those who turned against you, who did not walk with you, who did not submit to your good authority, who did not believe you, did not trust you. God, help us to be those that walk with you, that enjoy your presence among us above every other thing. Lord, help us to have no other gods besides before you. Help our affections to be only for you, to love you with a whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And as that love for you and your love for us shapes us, help that love to spill over to bless those around us, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, help us to be who you've created us to be, and thank you that because of Jesus, because of the good news that Jesus became human to die for a sinner like me, we can enjoy relationship with you. We can be welcomed in. And we can possess all the promises that you offer to us. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that your character never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to cling to you and to your promises. Jesus, your mighty name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve us communion. This is our opportunity to reflect on the gospel as a body of believers, to remember that I'm a sinner. I've messed this up. I've ruined my relationship with God that he made me for. But he loves me. He pursued me when I could not do anything about my circumstance, about my situation, about my sin. He sent his only son, our Lord Jesus, to become human, to die in my place. So that through him, through faith in him, through dependence on him, not myself, I can be welcomed in. I can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I can be transformed into a new creation. Someone who walks with him, someone who enjoys his presence, who enjoys relationship with him, who enjoys communion with him. I can be forgiven, washed clean, made new by the Holy Spirit, and enjoy communion with him and with other believers. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you've come to the end of yourself and said, I'm a sinner that needs a Savior, and the only one capable and competent to rescue me from my sins is the one who was God who became human to die in my place. If you're a believer, take bread, take juice. Hold that in your hand. Reflect on what Jesus did for you. Once we've all been served as a body of believers, we'll give him thanks. We'll take that together. Thank you, Jesus, for being born into this broken, filthy, rebellious world. To be mistreated, to be misunderstood, to be spat upon, to be nailed to a cross. To carry my sin. To pay my price in your body on the tree. Thank you for suffering the consequences of what I did. Bearing the just penalty I deserve. Taking my place. So that I today could enjoy your place in intimate fellowship, relationship with your Father. So that today we could enjoy access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us and what you continue to do in us. Sanctifying us, making us new. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work to transform our hearts, our desires, to come inside, to live in us, to make us your holy temple, and to make us new from the inside out. We remember what it cost, and we say thank you. Jesus' body broken for you. Take and eat. Jesus' blood poured out to cleanse us from all sin. Drink.